But now, first, we got to get to our buddy Herb Weisbaum. He's the Emmy Award-winning reporter who covers the consumer beat for NBCNews.com. His website is consumerman.com. And once again, if you have any consumer-related questions or concerns, you need some advice or some help, Herb is here to answer your questions and help you out. It's 312-981-7200. And let us say hello to Herb Weisbaum. Hiya, Herb.
Hi, Nick. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Cold.
Yeah, well, yeah. Don't talk to me about cold, Herb.
Well, we're cold for us. And,
yeah.
And, I mean, we were down to 18 degrees yesterday.
Oh,
that's
wow.
Cold for,
that's
for Seattle.
That's really cold for Seattle.
Yeah.
That is super cold.
And the weather forecasters are predicting snow. You know, we don't have snow plows or anything. I mean, I grew up in Philly and then in Syracuse, New York, so I know it's weather.
Sure, sure.
But we don't deal with weather here. You know, wintertime means turn your windshield wipers on.
Yeah.
And got 6 to 8 inches of snow, and then a lot of it wasn't cleared out because we don't have a lot of snow plows. And then it became a sheet of ice when it went down to 18 overnight.
Oh.
And now they're predicting Stormageddon is going to hit tomorrow all throughout the weekend, and we're going to all be socked in again.
That's brutal. I'm sorry for that. Now, we got nailed, though, bad here, Herb. We had the polar vortex last week. We were down to, without the wind chill, 22 below.
Wow.
For like two nights in a row, three nights in a row, with wind chills in between 50 and 60 below.
Yeah, when I was in Syracuse, I was actually in 30 below weather with 60 below wind chill. My mustache would freeze.
It's really dangerously
yeah.
cold.
And then
we got nailed with a snowstorm right before that. So we had like a ton of snow. We had like a ton of snow on the ground, and then boom, it drops to 20 below. It was just brutal, absolutely brutal.
You're worse than we are, but anyway.
Yeah, well, yeah, and then, you know, actually, just earlier in this week, we had an ice storm.
They're terrible.
That's the worst. That's the absolute worst. So basically, we're both miserable with the weather, Herb. That's what it comes down to.
Yeah, but we have a lot of coffee here to drink, so we're okay.
There you go. You're all set. And once again, you know, Herb, when you came to town and were in the studio with us, you brought some Seattle-based gifts for me. And I'm not a coffee drinker, but I gave the Seattle coffee to my folks who are coffee drinkers, and they said it's some of the best coffee they've ever had. So
good. Well, if they ever need an emergency shipment, we can drop ship it to them, you know.
Yeah, okay. Very, very cool.
I do that to my producers in New York. Every once in a while, they're just getting a little, you know, hey, I'll send you some coffee.
There
be nice
go.
At
that's
NBC. Here, have some coffee. Oh, that's wonderful. We love you.
Straight from Seattle, man. It doesn't get better.
Yep.
All right.
Yep.
Herb, tell everybody about yourself. Tell everybody about consumerman.com.
Sure. I've been covering consumer issues for more than 35 years now, and I just do not like scam artists or people who rip you off and steal from you. And my job is to try to make you a smarter consumer. I work for a local radio station out here, write a weekly column for NBCNews.com, which I've done for almost 13 years now. And you can find all those stories posted on my website, consumerman.com. And if you go there and want to sign up for my weekly newsletter, I'll be happy to send you all the things we do, including my podcast of being on Nick's show. And just a way to keep up to date on what's going on. I don't sell, share, rent. The only person who knows the mailing list is my dog, who sits behind me in my office. He and I know who signed up, but that's it. And you'll just get a weekly letter from me saying, hi, here's what's going on.
There you go. And again, what's your dog's name?
My dog's name is Sam, and he's enjoying the snow. He's afraid of his own shadow, but he's loving the snow. A little Chihuahua Terrier mix.
Oh, wow. There you go. It's crazy how much most dogs love the snow. They just get out there and go nuts.
Now, the cat, who's an escape artist, tried to go out. He took two steps on the back deck with the snow, went, wow, and turned around right in the house. Smart kitty.
Exactly. All right, Herb, hang on, okay, sir?
You got it, Nick.
All right, there you go. Herb Weisbaum joins us every month. He's the best. Consumerman.com is the website. We've got some really interesting consumer news stories to talk about. And any questions that you have, talk or text them to us right now. And concerns or advice that you need consumer-related, it's 312-981-7200. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DeGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 o'clock. It's Friday morning, but we are not doing our regular Friday features. Dan Chigrou is out sick, and Dan handles all the responsibilities of putting together our regular Friday features. So no fly jams, no Straight Out of Context, or Nick D Show Spies, or You Big Dummy. We'll get those back in next week. But Dan is out sick, and this shows you how much work that Dan puts into the show. So anyway, so we're just going to have a regular show this morning, no Friday features, and so please stick with us. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. Herb Weisbaum is with us, and he covers the consumer beat for NBCNews.com, and his website is consumerman.com, and let's welcome Herb back to the show. Welcome back, Herb.
Dan's such a good producer. He was emailing me today setting up the show, so just so you know.
No, I know. He's a great guy. Yeah, no, he is. He's the best. And so I hope he gets better soon. And so there you go. All right.
Yeah.
And again, I want to thank Ben for sitting in, man. You do a great job, buddy. So, all right, Herb, let's talk a little bit about some of these stories. Tell everybody a new way that you can instantly boost your credit score. I'm sure that this is something people will be interested in.
Well, it's about to happen. This is going to happen in the near future. The programs were announced, a couple of them. But basically, the situation is we have a lot of people who could have better credit scores if the credit scoring system were changed just a little bit, because they're responsible, but they may not have a whole lot of lines of credit, which is often needed to get a good credit score. And as we've discussed many times before, credit scores or good credit is so important in this economy we live in right now, because it determines everything from how much interest you'll pay on a credit card to whether you can get a car loan, to whether you'll be able to open a cell phone account, get a cable account, maybe have to pay a bigger deposit if you don't have as good credit, rent an apartment, that kind of thing. In some states, it affects the amount you pay for your insurance premiums for auto or home. So credit scores are more than just borrowing money like they used to be. Credit scores are being used for all sorts of things right now. And it's estimated that the average consumer with subprime credit will pay approximately $200,000 more for credit over the course of a lifetime. There's a figure that catches your attention, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
So what's been happening is the lenders, the banks basically, have been talking to the people who come up with these algorithms and the formulas that create our credit scores, saying we want to be able to qualify more people, responsible people, people who could responsibly handle some kind of credit or better credit, but we need to figure out a better way to do it. And what they're looking at is the possibility of using the way you pay your bills to prove that you're a good credit risk, that you're responsible, that you pay your bills. So a program was announced by the folks at Experian. That's one of the big three credit bureaus, and it's called Boost. It's supposed to launch early this year. I just went on the site tonight. It says you can sign up now if you want, but it won't actually be launching. They don't have an exact date yet, but they hope sometime in the early part of 2019. And if you want to use this, so let's say you can't get something you need or your credit score doesn't show up good enough. After you get rejected or you get not the best loan you could possibly get, you can say to the lender, hey, I'd like to take part in the Experian Boost program, and you tell Experian you want to do this, you give the company permission, they will access your online banking records and look at utility, cable TV, and phone payments for the past 24 months. The entire process, once you give them permission, should take about 5 minutes, so you could do this while you're sitting there in the credit office or whatever, of a car loan or applying for a bank account or something like that, and then they will deliver that information instantaneously to the lender. So it's the first time that you're going to be able to use your record of recurring payments to show you have a positive payment history, and therefore you're a good credit risk for somebody who wants to lend you money or do something like that. It's a very novel idea. In doing the story for NBC, I talked to a number of consumer advocates, and they could not see any major downside to this whatsoever. It's opt-in. You're the one who decides if you want to do it or not. If you don't want to do it, it's certainly not going to happen. They only look at your good, positive payment history. Obviously, the only thing in your checking account is if you're paying something, so it's only looking at that positive pay history. It's giving the potential lender a lot more information about you, so it makes it gives a more accurate picture of you, and you can opt out at any time you want to do that. So about the only downside that I could possibly think of or when talking to people is you're going to allow a credit bureau to get into your checking account. And a lot of people, myself probably included, think that the data brokers have too much information on it as it is right now. But the reality, that's the world we live in, and sometimes you have to make trade-offs, and if you can't get what you need in the world of credit, and you could do it by proving you pay your bills on time and are a good credit risk, you got to weigh that balance between letting them take a quick look at your checking account as opposed to not getting what you need. And they insist they're only looking they are only looking at utility payments. They're not going to be looking at other kind of payments and only the positive payment history that you're going to be doing. So we'll see how this goes. It's about to roll out. The Fair Isaac Corporation, that's that FICO score. They're the one that created this whole algorithm thing to take your credit report and make it a score that people could read instantly. They have unveiled a new scoring system, and it's called Ultra FICO, and that includes people's checking and savings account information. And they say that 7 out of 10 consumers who opt into this program would have about an average savings of $400 in that, with no negative balances in the past 3 months, going to see an increase of their FICO score. So if you're a good risk, you know, you opt in again to this program if you want to use it, you have a little bit of savings, you've been paying off your bills, again, that could help boost your score if you're looking for some loan or something with credit. So I think we're moving into a world where they've got to be really careful. They've been testing these things out for a number of years. They want to make sure they're not, you know, getting people who are not good risk, because you don't want to get back to the bad loan situation. But I think we're going to see more of these kind of things rolling out, with the customer, the consumer, being in control, you deciding if you want to take advantage of it or not. And we'll keep track of it once they do roll out and see if there's any problems. But right now, very, very positive thumbs up I get from all the people in the credit world and the consumer world and that sort of thing.
That's great. That's really great. And people can sign up now, even though it's not ready. It's not going to roll out just yet.
That's right. You can go online and sign up, and they're going to, you know, probably take it first come, first serve. But they're hoping to do it, as I said, by the first part of this year. Right. But if you're in that situation, you know, that could basically help you out when it comes time to do something like that.
Okay. Herb, hang on, okay?
You got it, Nick.
There you go. Herb Weisbaum is with us. If you have any consumer-related questions, you can call us, or concerns, you can call or text us. Phone lines are open now. Text lines are going as well. It's 312-981-7200. More with Herb after the break. Welcome back, everybody. Good morning. Nick DeGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here until 5 a.m. I'm your overnight dude every weekday morning, 1 a.m. to 5 a.m. Our phone number and text number is 312-981-7200. Just a reminder, it's Friday morning, but we're not doing any of our regular Friday features this morning. Dan Sugar was out sick, so we'll get those back going. Fly Jams Friday, Straight Out of Context, Nick D Show Spies, and You Big Dummy. We'll do those all next week. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text, and any consumer-related question that you would like to ask or text. Herb Weisbaum is with us. He's an Emmy Award-winning reporter. He covers the consumer beat for NBCNews.com. Check out his story. Subscribe to his newsletter at ConsumerMan.com. All right. Let's get Herb back in here. Hey, Herb.
Yes, sir.
All right. Welcome back. We got a caller here who has a question.
Okay.
Joe is in Downers Grove on WGN. Go ahead, Joe.
Nick and Herb, this is a superb topic, okay? I universally, over the last, you know, I don't know, 6 months, whatever, I pick up the phone, and there's somebody saying, gee whiz, your credit report is so superb, we're going to reduce your rate to zero. And I purposely pick up, through the beep, and punch one to get a representative, and I say, gee whiz, I'm really concerned about wasting your company's money and your time, and can you possibly help me by taking you off my list? Because I've got Discover, American Express, all the credit cards. Just, you know, you name it. I've got it. I haven't paid an interest payment in the last 2 decades. And they seem to listen to me. And they say,
they don't listen to you, actually.
You
you're dealing with con artists.
Hold on, Joe. Go ahead.
And you're dealing with con artists. And if you push the number to talk to them, that lets them know that you're a live human being who's willing to talk to them, and you will get even more robocalls offering you no financing on your, or zero financing on your cards. You never, ever respond to a robocall. Either they don't have a do-not-call list. They're criminals. So, unfortunately, you're going to keep getting these calls. You have not ended the problem, and as I've been telling people for years, when you get a robocall, if you want to, let it go into voicemail. Never return the call, and don't push a number, or don't say, if they say push 2 to get off our mailing list or our call list, they have no such thing. They're criminals. They're trying to steal your money. So just be smart enough to realize they are, and when the phone rings again, don't fall for it.
Just don't pick it up. And also, Herb, there are there are ways to stop the robocalls, right? There are you can tell everybody like the sort of the
yes, there are. I mean, there are not a lot of things for landlines at this point in time. They're working on. There's a service called Nomo Robo that works if you have a VoIP phone line. If you use like we're talking right now on an internet phone line, but there are apps available for a cell phone. They're available. You can just look in the Google Store, the Apple Store for something like there's one called Haya, and the Nomo Robo makes one for a cell phone as well, and they will block some of these calls. But the key is just don't ever respond to a robocall because they're crooks in most cases. With this kind of pitch robocall, you know, we're going to lower your insurance payments, we're going to do this. They're breaking the law by making the robocall in the first place, and they certainly aren't going to help you. So
that's right. Joe, please don't pick up the phone anymore and try to get those to get that service to get you off those lists. Joe, thank you very much for the call. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. A couple of more texts, Herb, and then we'll get to some more consumer stories. 847 area code says, what if the only payments I make from my account are my credit cards? I pay my utilities with credit cards to get points. I haven't had a missed or late payment ever, but I just have high balances.
Okay, well, first of all, if you're paying off your credit card bill, that's great, and that's part your credit is based on basically how you pay your bills, if you pay the bills later on time, et cetera, and then the kind of credit you have, and then how long and old your credit history is. So the problem, and there's no problem with paying your utility bills off with the credit card because, you know, unless you were to use this special program from Experian, you don't need to do that. The problem is what she said was her credit balances are high. That is a problem. One of the things the credit score algorithms look at is how much of your available credit you're using, and they want you to use very little. Basically, you're supposed to use 30%, most likely 20% or less of your available credit in order to get a very high credit score. They maxing out credit cards, getting close to the limit, even using a lot of your available limit is not a good idea. It brings down your credit score. Mm. So try to pay the bills down and try to get that balance that you want to get, if you can, 30% or less. So if you have $1,000 line of credit on that each card, you don't want to have any more than $300 on any card. So you want less than 30% because that really is something that will ding your credit score right now. Paying on time is critically important. So you got that taken care of, but it's the one about maxing out or getting close or even having a lot of money now on the card. If you're using up a lot of your available credit, that's the problem.
Okay. All right. Tim texted, I don't pay any bills online. Can I improve my credit score if I only pay via phone or check?
Your credit score has nothing to do with how you pay your bills. The credit score has to deal with how you pay certain bills, and it's the bills that are reported to the credit bureau. So that would in most cases, those are credit, and that would be your credit card. That would be, you know, your loan, your mortgage, your car payments, that sort of thing. Those are the kind of things that get reported to the credit bureau. At this point in time, utility payments aren't reported to the credit bureau. Rent payments, in most cases, aren't reported to the credit bureau. It's the big lenders in your life that are the things that are being reported to the credit bureaus that make your credit score. What we were talking about before, this boost program will let some of the littler people you owe money to, your utilities and that kind of thing, help you out if you're paying them on time. But those things in most cases aren't even reported right now. But it doesn't matter how you pay. It matters if you pay, when you pay, that you pay on time, and that you pay regularly.
Okay. Coming off of that question, he mentioned that he doesn't pay his bills online. There's an article here that I wanted to talk about. Switching to digital billing statements, here's what you need to know. Give everybody some advice on that.
Well, the basic line of that story was there was a survey done by Consumer Action, a consumer group, and it showed that a lot of people would prefer to have their bills still come to them on paper than digitally. We're all encouraged, you know, save paper, and it always says go green and have the bill sent electronically. And this was a survey that showed that a lot of people were really interested in still getting those bills to come to them on a piece of paper. The reasons tended to be that they just, it comes in your mailbox. You see it, you know that it's there, it keeps you from forgetting. You can't get an email lost in a spam filter. It might not show up, you know, that sort of thing. The survey was of 2,600 people, and 74% preferred paper for medical bills, 71% for property taxes. I think they always almost come that way. Insurance, 66%, utility bills, 63%, credit card payments, 61%, and phone bills, 56%. So the deal is here. The other thing that I found very important about this, and if you want to get a paper bill, in almost all cases you can, in some cases, depending on the bill is for, You have the right to get it by paper. Even if you switched, you should ask to have it back to paper if you really want to have it that way. And the problem I found is that the survey showed that fewer people review the bills when they come digitally than when they come in the by paper. And that's a really serious problem. That it impacts your behavior, and if you can't review the bill or you don't review the bill, you're not looking for bogus charges or fraud or that kind of thing, and that's how you spot this thing. More than three-quarters, 78% of those who get paper bills by mail say they review the transactions on that statement every month. Only 43% of those who use electronic delivery said they go online to review transaction details. To me, that is a very, very serious problem. If you're not looking, for instance, your credit card statement, your bank statement, whatever, every month, you have no idea if something is erroneous or fraudulent on there, and deal with it. You have to do that, and if getting it on paper encourages you to do it that way, then I encourage you to switch back and get those bills on paper. It's also interesting that a lot of people who get the bills on paper, Nick, still wanted to pay by online, which is interesting. They found that a very convenient way to pay. They just found it convenient to have the bill sitting there on their desk in front of them, you know, saying, pay me, pay me, pay me, and maybe writing some notes about the confirmation number when they paid online or what they did, that sort of thing. So pretty interesting topic, and what to me was the key of the behavior, that people are not looking. You know, you have your little cell phone or whatever you do, and it says, bills are here, take a look, and people aren't looking at it.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. Recently, I just switched over to paying automatic monthly payments electronically to my cable company, to Xfinity. I was having some issues with my mail. I don't know what was going on. I wasn't getting mail, and so I knew that it was time to pay the bill. So I called up, and I was I called up, and I was like, I didn't receive a bill in the mail. So I was having issues with mail. I don't know what was going on. Maybe my mailman that was in between mailmen. I don't know what it was, but I didn't receive a bill. So I knew that I would have been late. So I called Xfinity, and then what I did was I said, look, let's just make this automatic in case this happens again. And so now that's what I'm doing, but they still send me the bill on paper saying you know, that it will be paid on this date, you know, but I still get the paper, you know, I still get the bill on paper. And that's a thing that people can do too. If they want to they want the convenience of an automatic electronic payment every month, which is really convenient, but yet you can still get that paper envelope delivered to you.
What I do is I don't like companies, if possible, going into my checking account, which is what they're doing for you. And also, you have to, a lot of people living paycheck to paycheck, have to make sure you have enough money in there when the bills are being paid or you could bounce a check.
Yeah.
So in my case, I have them electronically bill my credit card. So therefore, I don't have to worry about what's in the checking account at that time. They're not getting their hands into my checking account, and it's covered the same way. But that way, I don't have to worry about, in many cases, the cable, the cell phone, various things like that. I don't have to worry about missing the payment or getting the bill. The bill comes, but then it's automatically paid and it's put on my credit card.
Right. Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. So that's an interesting story. Herb, hang on, okay?
Okay. You got it, Nick.
All right, buddy. Herb Weisbaum is with us. ConsumerMan.com is the website. If you have any consumer-related questions or concerns, Herb's here to help you out and give you some advice and answer your questions. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200 for talk or text. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, more with Herb. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio here till 5 a.m. And once again, it's Friday, but we're not doing any of the regular Friday features this morning. Dan Chagrew, who really controls all of that stuff, puts all that stuff on the air, is out sick. So we're just having a regular show this morning. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. And let's see. Herb Weisbaum is with us, and we welcome Herb back to the show. Welcome back, Herb.
The big dummy. I'll play that segment today.
Okay.
Hey, just to quickly follow up on what we were talking about digital bills versus paper bills.
Yeah.
If you're getting your bills electronically, and as we all know, email's not perfect, and email sometimes winds up in spam filters or spam boxes or whatever, I got dinged once because I missed an email, and I had a late payment on a credit card bill. And so I said that will never, ever happen to me again. So for those couple of bills that come electronically, they're really important. I put a thing on my Outlook as to when on my electric calendar, when the bills are due, and I just, you know, had it repeat every month. And so if a bill doesn't come, I know to look for it. So that's a way to compensate for the fact that if the bill's coming digitally, it could get blocked by a spam filter or lost or whatever, is you just have a note in your calendar and make sure you know when that electronic bill, especially if it's an important one like a credit card or a mortgage or bill or something like that.
Yeah. Okay. Good advice, Herb. All right. You know, I was thinking about this during the month-long government shutdown because there were so many people who, you know, who were out of work at the time. There's this piece that you wrote about the government shutdown was a reminder of how little Americans are saving, and that really struck me during the thing. How many people were struggling, and how many people couldn't pay their bills, and that really struck me. I said, well, clearly they're not saving any money, and that struck me. So you wrote a piece about that. Tell me a little bit about it.
Yeah, I was really touched by the personal stories that I heard on the news about these, you know, poor folks who have a job and are working, and all of a sudden the paycheck goes away. So I want to look into it a little bit. And, you know, we've said for a long time that Americans just don't have enough money put away on a rainy day fund, and survey after survey has shown that. One was done by Bankrate.com that shows only 40% of adults in this country could pay an unexpected expense of $1,000 or more. A survey taken during the last week of the shutdown by NerdWallet, that's a personal finance website, found that 36% of employed Americans couldn't cover basic expenses for more than a month if they were unexpectedly told they weren't going to receive another paycheck.
Wow.
Nearly half, 45% of employed millennials couldn't cover basic expenses for more than 1 month. So it really shows the importance. I mean, you never know when something's going to happen. Again, you know, they were facing another government shutdown in a week and something possibly could happen.
Yeah.
There could be something like, you know, the washer goes out. You need a new set of tires. Life is full of these things you didn't budget for, and the rainy day comes sooner than you may think, and you have to have some money set aside. And that was basically the whole point of the story. I tried to give people some guidelines, and I asked the experts what they recommend, and they basically are recommending that you should put aside between 3 and 6 months' salary, that you could go for 3 to 6 months if you didn't get a paycheck.
Mm.
Sounds like a huge mountain to climb, and for most people living paycheck to paycheck, it probably is. So like anything else, you take it a little bit at a time. You know, if you just start saving a little bit now, set up a separate savings account that you're not going to touch. It's your rainy day emergency account. It's not the, you know, I want to go to the movies today, tap the account. No, this is untouchable unless there really is an emergency. And just have some money taken out of your checking, of your paycheck every pay period and automatically put in that account. Your employer could probably help you do something like that. You know, if you put away just $40 every biweekly paycheck, by the end of a year you'll have $1,000 plus interest in that emergency fund. And if you open the account on one of these online banks, I mean, they're paying for savings accounts right now, some they're paying up to 2.4%. That's some serious interest that you're getting on this money compared to what we were getting just a couple of months ago. So that's the way to do it. Just start a little bit at a time, and you'll be surprised after a while you'll have that there if that rainy day comes. You won't be freaking out. You won't be taking out high interest payday loans. You won't be gone deeply in debt. That it's just so important to at least try to make a try. And, you know, we sort of work our way in America. I'll spend everything I need to spend, or whatever I need is left over, I'll put in savings. And all the experts said you really got to flip it around. You take the money out of the paycheck, it goes in savings, and then you make do with the money that's left. You have to sort of work your budget that way.
And, you know, you say here, obviously, first you need a plan, which is what you're talking about. And mm-hmm. how important is it to have a budget? How important is it to... write it out.
Critically important. And it doesn't have to be a spreadsheet, an Excel spreadsheet. It just has to be a way for you to know where the money's coming and where the money's going, to keep track of things. And, you know, when you're going over and know the only way you know that you have to cut back is to see where all the money's going. You go, wow, I'm paying that much money for lattes every single week. I guess I could cut that out for a little while.
Sure.
Until I, you know, put a little bit into savings. NerdWallet recommends, they have what they call the 50-30-20 rule. So that's 50% of your take-home pay is for your needs. So that's the basics, food, shelter, utilities, transportation, medical, that kind of thing. 30% goes towards your wants, so that would be entertainment, dining out, or travel, and that kind of thing. And 20% is earmarked for your savings. And if you can't find enough in that budget when you make it to go to savings, then you got to make the hard choice. You know, what can I live without for a short term? You know, do I not go out to lunch every day and maybe pack my lunch a couple of days? Do I skip coffee or an expensive coffee drink one day a week? I mean, nobody's saying you have to, you know, put the ash cloth on and not wear shoes. For most people, or some people know, people homeless, et cetera, but most people, if they try to find just a little teeny tiny bit of money, they could put away every pay period. And if you do that over time, it will build up. And then when the rainy day comes and the emergency happens, you're not going to be totally freaking out like these poor people, unfortunately, were. It just broke my heart to see what they were doing. If you need help, go to a nonprofit credit counselor. Don't pay somebody a lot of money. There's a nonprofit credit counselor near you. In many cases, they'll help you set up a budget. They'll figure out where the money's going. It's all based on income. In some cases, it's no charge. In some cases, it's only a couple of bucks. If you forget, this is in my story, the National Foundation for Credit Counseling. That's nfcc.org. National Foundation for Credit Counseling, nfcc.org. They will help you find a credit counselor in your area. They can sit down, work with you, and look at your individual problems. No fast deals. No, we'll get you out of debt overnight. They'll help you get on track and get to where you need to be. And they're really good people, and I've worked with them many times. I've seen people, you know, in horrendous situations, $40,000, $50,000 in debt, that 4 years later they bought a house. I mean, it really can be done if you budget and just make some really tough decisions. You can get your life back on track, and you can get that savings fund built up.
Yeah, and that's nfcc.org.
Right.
And it says here,
right, NFC and then Charlie, C is in Charlie.org.
Right, and it says here also that they have a free monthly budget planner.
Yeah, you can go right online. It's a link from my story, and you can use that and work online and keep track of what's going on. Very few people, I think this statistic was like 2 out of 10 people in this country or something like that, 3 out of 10 have a budget, and all the studies show that somebody who has a budget is more able to handle some crazy situation thrown at them, like the washer breaks and I need to pay the bill, or the tires get broken, or something happens. All these things that happen, people with a budget are most able to handle it without going deeply in debt. So it's a very, very important thing to do.
Now, before we say good morning to you, Herb, there's the other story that you wrote that we just want to touch on briefly. This is an insane amount of money. Hackers stole nearly half a billion personal records in 2018.
Yeah, unfortunately, the bad guys had a really, really good year, and maybe we'll talk about this more next time, because we're living in a world now where all of us have been breached probably multiple times. Our information is out there, and we've got to act accordingly, and the story talks about those kind of things, including making sure that you have a freeze on your credit reports, the only real thing you can do to stop somebody from getting into your financial situations. But it's absolutely crazy, and so there's fewer breaches, but more records, and what that's showing is that the bad guys are getting, that we're storing records, companies are storing so much data in these single places that the bad guys can hit one place, you know, like Equifax, and suck out, you know, all these records on people. And once it's out there, if it's Social Security number, it's out there. You can't change that like you can change your credit card.
Right.
So the article, if people are listening, your listeners want to read it, it's right there on the homepage of consumerman.com, talks about this new reality. They're calling it the new reality. We're living in a world where basically we have all been breached, and we seriously have to act accordingly.
And they're coming up with even more slick ways to do this too. I mean, these criminals are never asleep. They're always trying to figure out ways to get.
And it's always the human element. All you got to do is have one person slip up, one person who falls for a phishing email that gives out the code to get into the computer system. You can have all the security in the world, have, you know, every protocol in place, and if one person just slips up one time, you know, and that's what they're going after now. The big scores, and working a long, long time to get one employee to screw up, give them the information they need, and then they can rummage around the computers and do all the damage they want to do. Yeah, it really is. You know, we're living in a surveillance society where they're gathering all this stuff, and these bad guys are just sucking it up to use against us.
Yeah. All right. Well, everybody can read those stories and more at consumerman.com. Herb, always a pleasure.
Happy early Valentine's Day. Have a great February, and we'll talk to you in March.
You got
maybe
it, buddy.
By then we'll fall out.
Okay. Yeah, let's go. Stay warm, Herb, okay?
Thanks. Thank
all right,
you, Nick.
There you go. Herb Weisbaum, he's the best. It's consumerman.com is his website. News is coming up right after this.